This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And these are comics worth reading, Volume 2, Johnny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So just like last time, we've each picked a book, and we are going to talk about why we like the book, why it's worth reading, where you can get it, why you should get it, that sort of stuff. And then when you're done, you can go to the website, and there'll be links to it on Comixology. Or you can go find your local comic store and see if they have it.
Maybe.
You have an old one this year, this time, don't you?
Sort of.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to...
I don't know what an old one is. It's 20 years old.
No, I don't think so.
It's vintage.
Vintage. What, 20 years is the 90s?
Yeah.
No, that's not really that old. All right. What book did you pick?
Starman. Volume 2.
Starman Volume 2. All right. I went with Chew.
Okay.
So, yeah. Why don't you go first this time since I went first last time?
Okay. What am I supposed to do? I don't remember.
You're supposed to talk about Starman and why I should read it.
I've told you why you should read it.
Well, yeah, but now you can tell everybody out there in podcast land why they should read it.
It's a good book. That's why you should read it.
All right, done.
All right. Boom! That's short been, podcast.
That's been the Infamous Podcast this week.
Yeah.
No, all right. So, I mean, just maybe explain a little bit about what Starman is, who wrote it, who drew it, who
Starman
published
it. Starman is a Golden Age character. Is a Golden Age character. And this book was his son.
Okay.
It's spun out of the Zero Hour miniseries in the 90s.
This is Gaiman?
No,
that's James Sandman. Robinson. Sorry. Yeah. James Robinson. And then is this the Starman that showed up and told the Justice League that Kyle Rayner was the greatest Green Lantern of them all?
Did a Starman show up and say that?
Or maybe it was Sandman. One of them did.
I don't
remember.
Anybody did that.
So,
but okay.
No, somebody did in Justice League.
Justice League, the comic book?
Yeah.
That might have been Will Payton. And the recent stuff? Is that what you're talking about?
It was in the 90s.
Oh,
so.
I don't remember Starman showing up and saying that in the
90s. It was probably Sandman. That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know.
I get confused sometimes. You know that.
What story are you even talking about?
I don't even remember. I'll look it up. So keep talking about...
So Zero Hour was a miniseries that was created to reset and fix things that had happened that were messed up in the time stream of DC after Crisis on Infinite Earths. Which it didn't fix much, but it spun out 5 or 6 new series, and Starman was one of them. The original Starman's name was Ted Knight, and he had sons. And this story, this book, revolves around his younger son, Jack, who didn't want to be a superhero.
Okay.
And his brother took on the mantle of Starman and was killed.
Okay.
On his like first mission.
Oh, nice.
And so to protect his family from the villain that killed his brother, who was an original villain of the Starman, called the Mist, he took on the mantle and pretty much was different than any superhero that I had read up until that point.
Yeah.
Because he didn't wear a costume.
No.
He wore like a jacket and sneakers and, you know, goggles.
So he was tailor-made for Smallville.
Yeah. Well... He could have been.
And
there was talk that there was going to be like a series based off of that character, off of that storyline.
Yeah.
And Birds of Prey failed.
Oh, okay.
You know, what?
Yeah,
five, 10 years too early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely if Birds of Prey would have came on like 5 years after it did, it probably would have been more successful.
It would have ran for 10 years easy.
Yeah, probably.
So, hey, real quick, it was... It was Sandman, and it was JLA 22.
Grant Morrison?
Yeah.
Oh, so. Daniel. That's not Morpheus. That's
anyway.
Daniel. The origin that I found online said is Jack is the son of Ted Knight, who as Starman was a Golden Age superhero. Although as a child, Jack is fascinated by his father's heroic life, he becomes more and more rebellious as he grows older, as you do. And that. By the time he reaches adulthood, Jack is disdainful of his father's past. Jack's older brother, David, takes over his father's mantle, while Jack often regards the superhero role with open disdain, which he does. And his first appearance was in Zero Hour, and it was just like Ted and a couple of the other original JSAers had been injured by extant.
Okay.
And he appeared in like one scene in a hospital. And then it says, although Jack is both known as schooled and talented in fine art, his true passion is collectibles. He eventually becomes the owner and operator of an antique and collectibles store, which is also unusual for a superhero.
That is very unusual.
It says, Jack's role in the family changes after David is murdered by the Son of the Mist, one of his father's old arch foes. The Mist then attempts to murder Jack as well, who narrowly escapes by using one of his father's old gravity rods. Jack resolves to track down the Mist out of a desire to protect his father. He eventually kills the Mist's son in battle and captures both the Mist and his daughter Nash, who vows revenge.
Okay.
The Mist later succumbs to dementia after the death of his son. And then Nash comes back as the Mist and rapes Jack.
Rapes Jack?
Yeah.
Okay. Ah, gotta love the 90s, man.
Invincible wasn't the first book to do that.
No.
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 I'm sure that's where Kirkman got the idea.
You think?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because she rapes him and eventually has his son.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's a little homage to Starman.
Yeah, probably. So. Cool. So this book is unique for the 90s.
Right.
To me. James Robinson was pretty much the character because he was into collectibles and all that. And different art style like this. I was reading like a lot of the Vertigo stuff and that, and the art style is more Vertigo and that. Tony Harris did the first, let me see if I have it written down here. Tony Harris did number 0 to number 45.
Wow.
And then Peter Sinsberg, and I'm sorry, I probably pronounced his last name wrong.
You butchered it.
He did from issues 50 to number 80.
Okay.
And there was 81 issues plus a 0 and a 1 million and 2 annuals and some specials.
Oh, they did a 1 million for him.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. He was around.
Yeah.
And that during the Grant Morrison JLA run, and pretty much JSA spun out of this book.
Right.
Because he was in the first like couple arcs of the JSA story too. This pretty much was a world building book. James Robinson didn't create Opal City, but Opal City was the home of Starman, and Opal City was its own character at certain points.
Yeah.
More than Gotham even.
Okay.
It just was more alive. It was one of the, like, I'd say most alive cities that I remember reading in a comic book. You know, there was lots of heroes and villains that lived in the city. There was a police family called the O'Dares.
Okay.
Who were like, that had been there forever.
All right.
And one of them was a reincarnated hero from the 1870s called Scalp Hunter. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was a very,
they couldn't see my face there, but it was like, all right.
It's a very unique book because, Solomon Grundy shows up at a certain point and is a good guy. Every single Starman that had existed in the DC universe was acknowledged in stories at one point or another. Multiple like crossover stories where Jack met the Golden Age Sandman and had an adventure with the Golden Age Sandman.
Cool.
He had an adventure with Shazam, Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And you know, that's when, Jerry Ordway was doing the Power of Shazam book. So that was a crossover.
Oh, cool.
There was a mini series with Batman, Hellboy, and Starman.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really like he had a unique role in the DC universe that he was kind of an outsider, but was an insider too because his dad had been a superhero.
Right. At what point, like how long had James Robinson been writing for DC or for just in comics in general at this point?
Don't know. I never looked that up. I mean, this book started in 94.
Yeah.
And went to 2001.
Yep.
And that, so I don't know how long Robinson had been writing comic books up until that point.
So the
I think he had written the Golden Age, the Elseworlds miniseries for them.
Okay.
And that's where they knew that he could write the older characters. And, you know, it was one of those things where he does a really good job of the generational heroes in this story. So there's like, you know, I don't want to give everything away because obviously this is, you know, one of the better books to read and actually go and find the books and read them. But there's, you know, stuff you find out about the Golden Age Starman that like makes it more real. Like, you know, those books from the 40s and 50s kind of are fantastical when you read them now. But this book makes things seem more like they were realistic.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking at Comixology right now, and like the art is the most 90s art ever, which is not a problem. Like, I'm not complaining about that at all.
Well, I mean, the stuff that Tony Harris did is much more like unique than, you know, when Sinsberg came on, it was fine too, but like it was, you know, a different style.
Yeah.
He tried to stick to Harris's style a little bit, but he had his own style.
Right. Very cool.
Yeah, the number 81 issue was part of the Blackest Night.
Okay.
It was literally David coming or being revived as a Black Lantern and coming to Opal City and looking for Jack. And Jack is not in Opal City at the end of the story.
Oh, no?
Nah.
You're not going to spoil where he went?
He went to San Francisco with his son and his girlfriend.
Not missed.
But I'm not going to spoil what happened to make him go.
Right.
There's just, you know, there's a lot of cool story to this. Like I said, there's acknowledgement of every Starman. So, like, there was a blue Starman that appeared in a one-shot in the 70s, and he's a major character in the story. I mean, you know, it's stuff like that that was cool about it, the history of the character.
And you said 81?
What?
Issue 81?
81, yeah.
Okay. Because Comixology stops at 80.
Yeah.
No, like number 80 is the last one that they have.
Yeah, that's the last issue of the regular series.
Yeah, they don't, I don't know where, okay.
It's in the omnibus.
Okay.
In the volume 6 omnibus.
Okay, cool.
Like literally the omnibuses have everything in them. So every appearance of Jack as Starman is in that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's just a really good book. And, you know, it's hard to find a lot of the issues.
It is, yeah. The art, like I said, the art looks really cool, like just kind of going through some of these issues.
Yeah, so the Elongated Man was in a lot of the stories.
A little Ralph Dibny action,
yeah,
I like
Ralph Dibny and Sue were in the story for a little while. Just a lot of different stuff. Because at one point he goes in outer space, so he has to find other superheroes to take care of the city while he's gone. So he just finds, like, people like Ralph and Sue and
who won't fail his city
pretty much. Yeah,
I wonder if that'll ever like not be like a meme.
What,
you failed the city?
You failed,
like,
the city,
you know. That's gonna be Arrow's legacy.
Well, you know,
so
it was the tagline there for a while.
For a long time. Yeah. Okay, so what exactly drew you to the book?
That I've been reading comic books for a couple years, about 2 or 3 years, when Zero Hour happened.
Right.
And that, and it's one of those things where, you know, they were good at selling the books. And most of those books that came out of Zero Hour, I picked up the first couple issues. You know, literally, I think I picked up every Zero issue that came out.
Oh, wow.
And, picked up a couple of the other ones, and nothing really, like, stood out. I think the only other one I really enjoyed was a book called Primal Force. And I couldn't tell you what it's all about. It's a team book. I remember that. It had a lot of unusual characters in it. But, like, there was, I want to say there was, like, 6 new books that spun out of Zero Hour, and this was the one that, like, lasted.
Yeah.
The other ones, like, were canceled a year or two after they had been published. And that, but this was the one that stuck around because I think this book had heart, and that, and, you know, it talked to you like about family and stuff like that, that made you, like, you know, feel like you were part of that group.
Yeah.
Because Jack didn't always, like, just go out and fight villains like, you know, like a superhero does. Some of them he just talked down.
Yeah.
And had a guy broke into his antique. It says, and I read that, and I, you know, I remembered it after I read it. Guy breaks into his antique store to get a, I think it was a magic shirt.
Okay.
And he's a villain, and that, and Jack scuffles with him, and then instead of like straight out fighting him, he just sells him the shirt. And then the guy buys a shirt and leaves.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's like stuff like that where it's like, you know, he was unique in the sense that he had grown up around the superheroics of things and figured out different ways to solve the problem.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
So I like that kind of stuff. I like when they take the hero and kind of flip it on its on its ear and like, you know, rather than continue to fight.
Like you knew he wasn't a perfect person. So. And then he had issues with his dad. Because they had, the JSA disappeared at one point into a pocket universe. So, like, you know, his dad was kind of an absentee dad. And, you know, his dad had an affair with one of the other JSAers. So you find that out and you find out, like, stuff with that. And it's pretty interesting.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one I've never read that one.
I've found... So. Two of the actual omnibuses at Ollie's.
Really?
Yeah. When they bought all that stock, the diamond, I guess, sold or whatever.
Okay.
They had two of the omnibuses there. I've got like three out of the six, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
The omnibuses aren't cheap, but they're the best way to get everything because it's like, and I seen, you know, I knew that there was issues that had never been published in trades.
Right.
And they listed them on the Wikipedia page that I was looking at. It said that issues 36, 42, 44, 46, 54, 74, and the 80-page giant have never been collected except in the omnibuses.
Okay. Those are all...
they're all on
Comixology. So at least 80
pages. Now, do they sell the omnibuses on there?
No, they have... it's two volumes. So it's Starman, Sins of the Father, and Starman, Night and Day.
Oh, so they only have two of the trades on there.
Yeah. So, and that's... they're each about a little over 200 pages long. Well, the first one's 157 pages, and the other one's 219 pages.
So Sins of the Father is issues 0 through 5.
Okay.
And then Night and Day is issues 7 through 10 and 12 through 16.
Okay. So, but...
there literally was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 collections.
Yeah. They have 0... It says they have 83 issues.
83 issues?
Yeah. Which I'm assuming is the annuals.
They probably have the secret files and origins.
Well, the annuals are in there, I think. And then they have the one-shots, which are the secret files, the 80-page giant, and Starman Mist, which came out in 1998.
Yeah, that was the girl when they did that Girl Frenzy mini series where they focused on... female characters.
Girl Frenzy was what it was. So yeah, to save her child, the Mist must work with the insidious Green Lantern foe Black Hand.
Yeah.
So, but Mary
that
Marvel
was before Black Hand was blackest.
Right,
Black
right.
Hand.
But when Mary Marvel gets involved or tries to get involved, will even the powers of the gods save Mary from the wrath of the Mist? And that's James Robertson, pencils by John Lucas.
It's the various artists when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, this is a very
is the Batman Hellboy Starman miniseries on there?
It's not listed under Starman.
It's probably under Batman or Hellboy. It's under Batman, I'm sure, because it was Batman Hellboy Starman.
Searching. Yeah, I don't see it, but I'm also...
If you look on Wikipedia, it's got listed everything, like, from the omnibuses and that.
Cool.
I think they're, like, $50 a piece.
Oh, are they still in print?
I think all but the first and second one are.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
You can probably definitely check your local comic shop for those.
Go to Ollie's.
Yeah, that's what you said.
You might get lucky and find, like, I think they had 5 and 6.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's the end of the story, but
maybe half price books.
It'd be worth it to pick them up for $5 a piece.
I'm trying to think if I've ever been into an Ollie's, and I don't think I have.
Yeah, it's worth checking out for that type of stuff.
Right.
Some of them still have like a large amount of stuff. So
very cool.
I'm sure Ollie's bought a warehouse full of comic books from Diamond or whatever. Yeah. Lots of DC and Marvel stuff.
Yup.
So, but yeah, this, I mean, you know, it's just a good book. Like I said, I don't want to spoil a lot because it's just a fun book to read.
Right.
But like there's a, and actually there's a, the trade is called Times Past. So Times Past was a quote unquote gimmick that he would do once a year where it would be a focus on somebody from the city in the past.
Right.
So there's a story about David in the Times Past. There's a story about the Shade who was a villain but mm-hmm. became a anti-hero, I guess you would say.
Right.
And that kind of like training, he was training Jack at the same time that Jack was pretty much like talking to his father about things and all that. So, because Jack made a deal with his dad that the only way he would be the hero of Opal City is if his dad like used all his knowledge and abilities to better the world
mm-hmm.
and that. So that was the reason why he took over as Starman.
Very cool.
And he, I think he was like the inspiration for Geoff Johns to create Stargirl, Courtney Whitmore, mm-hmm. and that. And eventually she does take Jack's
staff.
Cosmic rod and right. that. So
does she take his cosmic rod? Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so dirty.
Well, she takes his place in the JSA.
Right.
So, because eventually he leaves the JSA when he retires from being Starman. So, and he actually got to retire. He chose to retire.
Which is cool. I mean, that's different. Yeah. That's it's an interesting idea and comic and treatment of a character that we don't normally see comic book characters, especially superheroes,
right,
getting full arcs, like a beginning, a middle, well, yeah, and then a retirement. Well, yeah, that's
you know, unique for DC in the sense that most of the stories where like one writer wrote the whole story
mm-hmm.
were Vertigo books.
Right.
So this was one where it's like, you know, one writer, a couple different artists, but
right.
one writer wrote the entire story.
Right.
And came back and wrote the Blackest Night issue too.
Which is really cool that they did that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it was cool that he, you know, it was his book. I mean, there's no way around it. It was his book. So, I mean,
yeah.
I got to meet him a few years ago and got the first omnibus signed by him and Tony Harris. So, Tony, I've met a couple times, and he's a pretty awesome guy.
Yeah. I like Tony's art. Yeah. He's a good artist.
And that, so.
I like James Robinson. I like reading his stuff, too, though.
Yeah, he's written a lot of cool stuff.
So,
and I mean, this was pretty much, the Golden Age was, like, the first thing I remember reading of his, and then this.
Yeah.
So, and the Golden Age was just a cool Elseworlds story.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. All right.
So that's pretty much it.
Cool. Yeah, that's cool, man. Good call on that one. I'll have to track
I'll
that
send
one
you
down.
The link so you can link it
yeah.
into the show notes for, because I just copied over little bits and pieces of stuff.
Sure. All right, cool. So my book is Chew.
Yeah.
Which was written by John Layman with art by Rob Gilroy. Is that how you say it?
I guess. Gilroy?
Yeah, Gilroy?
Gilroy?
Gillery.
Yeah, I think is what it is. Yeah.
My dyslexia, like, just totally, like, went on
the
fritz
LLs
with this.
And all that
with
stuff.
With the U-I-L-L-O.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'm looking at it right now. I spelled it out, but I can't, like, actually, anyway. All right. So, Chew is an interesting book. It's,
I've read the first three trades.
There's 12
yeah,
total.
First three or four trades.
It ran for 60 issues. It was monthly ongoing. It ran from June 2009 through November 2016. And yeah, it's got a bunch of collected issues.
Yeah.
Maybe not 12.
They've done,
or
like,
yeah, 12.
The trade paperbacks, they've done all of it in trade.
Yep.
And then like Image does, the first one was $10 and the rest of them have been $15.
Right.
And then I found them just sporadically through Half Price Books and other places. Then they did like those collected books
yeah,
where they
like
would
they
put
do
two trades together.
Two or three, I think.
Yeah, two or three trades together. So
and then they do the what's that Walking Dead one they have, the big
the phone book.
Yeah, the phone book where it's 48 issues.
Yeah.
So but
if it was 60 issues, then they did 30 issue.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So it was published by Image. It won 2 Eisner and 2 Harvey Awards. Mm. So it did.
Yeah, I forgot that actually Starman did too.
It did really well when it came to that. So it was written and lettered by Lehman, which I didn't realize he did the lettering for it until I totally forgot about that. And then Gilroy did all the pencils, and then he participated in colors. And then there were 3 artists who did colors throughout the rest of the series.
Cool.
Lisa Gonzalez, Steve Struble, and Taylor Wells. Like I said, it was Image. Yeah, this book is so weird, right? So it's a world where chicken has been outlawed. And because there was a big
there was an avian outbreak flu. Or something, right?
Well, so there was a thing that happened, and they called it the bird flu.
Right.
And so the people of this world freaked out and banned chicken. And then the FDA became the most powerful law enforcement agency in the world.
Okay.
Which just cracks me up to no end, right? So then you've got Tony Chu, who is the main character that we follow throughout the series.
Which the book is spelled C-H-E-W,
yeah.
But Tony's last name is C-H-U because yeah. One of his parents was Asian? Or
One, if not both. They, like, yeah. So,
they don't really go into deep detail about...
So the art... in this book kind of like makes everybody a nice shade of like beige.
Yeah.
Right. You
yeah.
know? So like, yeah, it's interesting. So,
I mean, his features at least make you know that he's Asian yeah. or of Asian descent.
Yeah. C-H-U. And he is what's called in this world, a sibiopath.
Yeah.
And a sibiopath in this world is someone who can, ingest something and see its entire lifespan up until that point.
Right.
And he originally worked for the Philadelphia Police Department, and then he became a member of the FDA. And he was pretty, like, by the book, right?
Right.
Like, he was real... At the beginning of this book, he's super uptight.
Right.
Just, like, everything. And then he's, you know... He's really good at being a cop. He's really good at, like, solving crimes.
Yeah.
Even before it came to, like, eating things. And then he eats a lady's toe.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so funny because all of a sudden then it's just all on from there. He's eating bits of people. He's right. eating, you know, different things. The one weakness to his power, beets.
Yeah,
so beets were the only thing that he could eat that
he wouldn't have flashes
that
on.
That he didn't have flashes right. on. So that's all he ate,
right.
essentially.
He kind of was like the Unbreakable character except that was eating stuff instead of touching people.
Right, exactly. You're right. His partner is John Colby, who is like a total bro.
Yeah.
You know? He's got like the Hawaiian shirt under the leather jacket and stuff. Really early on, he takes a butcher knife to the face. And I got a little too excited there, didn't I? The face. Yeah. Where then he becomes like part cyborg.
Yeah.
Which was cool. And he like dies.
Well, pretty much air quotes
like four. He's like Kenny from South Park.
Yeah, and I haven't got that far into the book. Like, but like just reading the first 2 or 3 trades that I read, it's like, you know, it's pretty much what Image is about is just let a writer run wild with their book
yeah.
and see where they go with it.
And this was very, very interesting. So he starts with a girlfriend and she hates him and everybody hates him. The chief hates Chu, Tony.
Yeah.
The chief hates him. Colby's the only one who likes him. His brother is Chow Chu, who is a former chicken chef, and he became like the world famous chef. And the secret is he still puts chicken in everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's D-Bear, who is Deshaun Barry. He's a black market. He sells black market chicken.
Yeah.
So, which was fun. And then my favorite character is Mason Savoy, who he's also a sibiopath like Tony.
Yeah.
And he's kind of, he's the big bad / anti-hero / MacGuffin
yeah.
for the whole series.
Oh, okay.
And he and Tony go back and forth. You know, Tony has a daughter.
he ends up having a girlfriend who also has food-based powers, Amelia Mintz.
Okay.
And she's a food critic, and her power is whatever she writes, you can taste that food.
Ah, okay.
So it's so funny, but like, you know, it's just these weird little things.
Depending on if she likes it or not.
Yeah. And then
you're going to taste how she says it.
Right. And then Tony has a twin sister who is also Tony, which is short for Antonelli. And it's T-O-N-I-Chu. And she works for NASA. So she's like a total badass.
Yeah, I haven't got that far.
And where's his daughter? And then he also has a daughter. Where's her? Where is she? And she's like a super powered, like, food power person where she can like carve food in any weapon. And like, she's got some sibiopath to her where she can, so if, like, she needs to learn how to fly a helicopter, she can just take a bite out of helicopter pilot and like, you know,
sure.
And
picks up the abilities.
Like, she makes like a katana blade out of chocolate and it's the most lethal sword on the planet, okay, sort of thing. And then the big bad, we never learn his name. He's just called the vampire, and he's a sibiopath from Siberia, and he goes around collecting powers a lot like Siler from Heroes.
Okay.
Like that's how that's I always cool. kind of viewed yeah. him. And, you know, I mean, this book happened after Heroes and everything. Right. And it's like, I imagine John Layman sitting around and be like, that's cool. Let's see how fucked up we can make this. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so, just some of these powers are hilarious. And then the last like character is Poyo. And I don't think you got far enough to have Poyo.
No.
Poyo is the demon chicken.
Demon chicken.
And he works for the FDA. And he goes to hell at one point. It was kind of when the Hellboy and Hell thing was going on.
All right.
And he goes to hell and he kicks Satan's ass and he comes back. And he's like the Hulk. But he's a chicken,
okay,
right? Like, he's the one who they drop into a situation to just wreak havoc.
Just go crazy.
Yeah. yeah, it's such a fun book. Gilroy's, however you say it.
Gilroy.
His art in this is so much fun. It's so cool because everybody's a little out of proportion. Like, it's big bodies with tiny legs, or everyone's really like kind of gangly, or like Colby, for example, has got like a big pumped up chest and big arms and then like stick legs. I don't know. Like, I look at this book and I think this is kind of like, to me, this is one of like the quintessential looks for an Image book. Right.
Right.
Because it's two creators who are out there just pushing the boundaries of, you know, of sequential storytelling, but then also for the look and feel of that book, because DC would never, Marvel would never publish the style of art that's in this book. Maybe now, but at the time, certainly not.
I think like this would have been, if DC would have taken this, it would have been a Vertigo book for sure. Yeah,
it would not have been as.
There's stuff in this that is like on the level of Preacher.
Yeah.
Like stuff that would happen in Preacher and that. So, I mean, you know, in that sense, it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, I could see where this could happen.
Right.
Where a bigger company would pick it up. But the thing is like, because it's an independent writer, independent artist, you know, they're going to go to the first place you think to go is Image.
Right.
And Image doesn't pick up everything. I mean, otherwise there wouldn't be other comic book companies.
Right. But it would just be Image, right?
Yeah.
Image but yeah, it's it's one of those things. Like, so, and they would do like cool, weird things. Like at issue 18, something happens to Tony. And so instead of going to number 19, they jump to 27.
Do they?
Yeah. It's like the weirdest thing. But then, you know, then they go back, you know, they go back to 19, 20, 21.
What was it? Stormwatch.
Yeah.
A few of the other Image books did like it was like a one shot thing where it was like tomorrow's yesterday or something like
right.
that. Where like whatever issue they were on, the next issue was number 25.
Okay.
It's like four books did it and Stormwatch was one of them. And it literally showed what happens, you know, 2 years down the road or whatever.
Right.
And you're like, then you jump back to the regular issue and you're like, oh my God, how's this going to happen?
Yeah.
That's what it kind of sounds like. Was it just a single issue, or was it like...
No, it went, so it went 18, 27, and they told the story for a while, and they went back to 19 through 26.
So you got to find out why things were going on.
Well, because he was in a coma.
Right.
So, and then there's this whole, like, alien thing, and there's this weird plant that tastes like chicken, and so, I don't know. It's just a really, really fun book that... goes off the deep end, you know.
You could buy a page on his website for $200.
Oh, really? Yeah. Interesting. So, you know what? I think I've looked at those before.
And I think his last name is probably Guillory.
Yeah.
Because he's from Louisiana.
So. Oh, okay. The collected editions. So, like, Invincible is like Family Matters and Full House. And Eight is Enough. Taster's Choice, International Flavor, Just Desserts, Flambe, Major League Chew, Space Case. You know, so, and there's one, Chicken Tenders and Blood Pudding, you know. So okay. It's like, it's just really funny how they do this. Like I said, I really like the world that they built.
Yeah, they built an interesting...
I think that they did a really, really good job of coming up with something that was wholly original.
Yeah.
And yet paid homage to other
It's like
comics.
The one I told you that Layman's writing now, Outer Darkness.
Right.
Where it's Star Trek, but they use black magic.
Yeah.
And it's like, I read the first issue and I'm like, this is like an homage to Star Trek, but you're like, it's scary.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's cool. That's a cool idea.
So I did this in trades only, right? I did.
Yeah.
Because I didn't start until... I don't know, maybe
this is probably
volume
a
4.
Good book to read trades.
So I'm glad I read it in trades because I really enjoyed reading it in chunks. And so, you know, I got to a point.
Chunks of food.
Yep, pun intended there. I got to a point in Invincible where I was like, I just can't wait for the trades to come out. I need to read this month over month. And with Chew, I really fought that urge because I was enjoying the collections so much and the little bits of like art and things at the end, which were at the end of like, you know, Ryan Ollie did that at the end of Invincible as well with the trades.
What would be omnibuses
are
called omnivores. Omnivore
awesome.
Edition.
Awesome.
The first volume collected Chew 1 through 10.
Okay.
And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 of them.
Okay.
Oh, and the last one actually includes, there was a crossover revival, another Image book.
Okay.
It includes the one-shots.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm looking at that right now, too.
That's cool. Hey, I think I have a couple of the omnivores, and then I have a couple of the trades, and that, you know, if you find the stuff at reasonable prices, you may as well grab it.
Yeah, the revival one-shot is in volume 11 as well. It's not just in the omnibus.
Oh, is it?
And then... the volume 12 Sour Grapes, which is the last one, is issue 56 through 60, and includes Demon Chica and Pollo.
Go
one
further
shot.
Down the page, and there's three volumes called Smorgasbord Editions.
Oh,
and it's literally 1 through 20, 21 through 40, with the Agent Pollo one shot, and then 41 through 60 with another Pollo or two Pollo one shots, and the crossover with Revival.
Okay, very cool.
If you see the Smorgasbord editions for reasonable prices, pick them up.
Definitely.
Like I said, I've read the first few volumes of this, and it's actually a very enjoyable book.
Yeah. So
it's a lot of what the fuck.
Too. Right. So like, okay. So like, that's where this is a perfect segue because we talked about Sibiopath, right?
Right.
So Tony is one. Olive Chu is one, which is his daughter. Mason Savoy is one, and the vampire. So they're the only known living sibiopaths, right?
Oh, so they list the powers on the
Wikipedia. So I was going to go through some of these. So what I really wanted to point out was Peter Pilaf is a villain, and his powers let him control people. So there's no like name for it, but it's totally the Pied Piper. You know, like the Pied Piper would play the
control
music.
Control people
and,
through food, yeah.
And then his sister Tony is a sibiovoyant, and she can see the future of anything she eats.
Nice.
As long as it's alive.
Oh,
so okay. Like if it's dead, her power doesn't work. And so she actually at one point eats part of Tony and sees the future.
She says future.
And then like her whole thing is set because she sees her future through that.
How many does he have? Two sisters and
he has a sister and a brother, and then Olive is his daughter.
So who's Sage Chu? Is that a sister?
Oh wait, yeah, that is his sister.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh,
it might be a sister-in-law. So, oh no, sister. You're right, sister. I don't know. There's 60 issues. It's been a little while since I've read it.
Well,
but
it's the same with Sam.
Yeah,
I mean,
but this is definitely like in the top 10 of my all-time favorite comics. Okay. I've read
his
all
brothers,
the way
his older brother, Chow
right.
Chu.
Oh yeah, and then Sage
sorry,
is
I'm going
younger.
Through the...
But yeah, it's
so
it's
they
so
never
funny.
Reveal the vampire's name.
Nope, and I loved it. I was so happy. Like you never know who he is.
Huh. Cool.
That's really cool. So you have like oh, I have no idea how to say this word. So
what word?
The M.
Nemocoicus.
Okay. Oh yeah, I guess M would be
yeah,
silent.
Yeah, the M
there.
Would be silent.
The
yeah.
the ability to cook memories into their dishes. Like
okay.
How messed
that
up is that
cool,
one, right?
Yeah.
You could just cook a memory up for someone to have.
Well, the one that caught my eye that sounds totally off the wall is Torta Espadero is able to cut tortillas into sharp objects.
Yeah. Cause that guy cuts them into ninja stars.
Well yeah, I was gonna say that's the first thing I thought of too, is like ninja stars out of tortilla chips.
So Sibio linguist, they get they can speak the language of whatever nationality the dish is that they were cooking.
Cool.
Not eating, cooking. So that's a cool one. Yeah, some of these are just really, really neat.
I like Broma for Mutar.
Yeah.
Is able to take on the form of whatever he's last eaten.
Yeah.
See, now I would look forward more to reading the rest of this because there's some off the wall stuff here.
Right. The whole black market chicken scene in this book and the fact that the FDA
that just
guys.
Sounds ridiculous when you say it.
So the FDA guys all eat fried chicken.
Well, yeah.
There's like no, like, you know, they're just, it's hilarious. But yeah, this
wouldn't
is one of those
if
ones.
If you were the most powerful agency on the world, that you'd eat the chicken. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So then the other thing, other media. So there was talk of a TV show, as recent as 2010,
like
that
HBO
live action, Showtime.
Showtime.
Okay.
I was going to say this would have to be a cable network
that would pick
this up.
It's dead. So
hey, like the Starman show was dead.
Just like the Starman show. So yeah, so it was not going to happen.
Some things though, like this would be more of a show that I would want to see as an animated series.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because in 2014 it announced that it was going to get the animated treatment, with Jeff Keltzer and David Boxerbaum.
Okay.
With the through their multimedia company Heavy Metal.
Okay.
And it was going to, John Layman was going to write and executive produce, and Steve Yeun was going to be Tony Chu, and Felicia Day was going to be Amelia Mintz, and it is not going to happen. he just like Gilroy.
Let's just bring it down.
Gilroy simply stated it just didn't happen because Hollywood can be a weird place sometimes.
Well, yeah,
we do have some movement on a live action show though. And this was back in 2007.
Well, I mean, you look at like the HBO Spawn,
right,
animated series, and that was really like a well done show. But like,
so I think,
you know, the difference is that politics, the Hollywood politics is different from the comic book politics. So stuff doesn't mesh unless you're Warner Brothers owned or you're Disney owned at this point.
I think if the eight episode animated Invincible does well on Amazon.
Yeah.
That
you
this
might get something.
Will definitely be something that happens.
See how you can fit that. All in the eight
episodes. I think it's just going
to
be the first book.
It has to
I
be.
Think it, they're
just
they're,
introduce the character and go from there.
So it's going to not the first book, the first trade.
Let him fly through. So, let Omni-Man fly through somebody.
He's just
going to
fly off.
Blood
and,
everywhere.
Yeah.
And,
there's a tabletop game as well, which if you go to Nostalgia Inc. and Mason, they have it.
Oh, really?
So okay. I've looked at it a couple times and thought about getting it. It looks like fun, but like we don't have enough people that play tabletop games in our life. So.
Or Red Chew.
Well, yeah. I will say I have bought.
It's one of those niche games where you have to
for
read
a
that
niche
book.
I have bought this book probably 4 times to give to people, the first volume, to give away as gifts.
Yeah.
To specific people. Like I have a friend, Stein, Greg Stein. He's a cook.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
He's messed up in the head.
That would be a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh god, I love this guy. So we went to college together. Yeah. He goes off, becomes a lawyer. Decides he doesn't want to be a lawyer, wants to be a cook.
Yeah.
Goes to culinary school. He was like, I don't know, it was probably like 6 or 7 years ago. It was like one of the rising stars on like in like food magazine or whatever. And like, yeah, he's an amazing cook, and you know, lives in New York, does his thing.
Cool.
He's but I totally sent him this, and I remember like his house burned down a few years ago, and he's like, yeah, I lost you, and it was like, ah. Well, you
it's
know.
It's still out there.
It's out there. It's digitally. I bought you one.
Yeah.
You read it. You liked it. Awesome. So, yeah. All right.
Well, that's cool. Both of these are on Comixology, though.
Yep. They are both on Comixology. Cool. And I know Chew is part of Comixology Unlimited. So if you go and you sign up for your free 30-day trial, go to infamouspodcast.com/Comixology. And you can sign up and you can read this. I'm guessing because a lot of the DC stuff is on it's on Comixology now, Comixology Unlimited now.
Yeah.
That if Starman, this volume of Starman isn't on, it will be at some point.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that all the comics are available.
Yeah. Some of the Starman trades aren't in print anymore. I do know that because there's a few that I looked for that are impossible to find at this point. So that's one of the things. But like I said, the omnibus is, I think, maybe volume one has been, I think that volume one has been printed as a soft cover omnibus at this point.
Cool.
So you probably can find that, but you're not going to find the hardcover unless you find it, you know, either at a comic book shop that hasn't sold it or Half Price Books or one of those type of stores.
So, yeah, I mean,
it's just a highly recommended book because, you know, out of all the books that if I sold off my collection or
it's one
most of my
keep.
Collection, that would be a series that I would keep.
Like I can see a Comixology gift card in your future as a birthday present or Christmas present.
Right.
Just saying, here, go buy Sandman so you always have it on your tablet.
Yeah.
So.
And Starman too.
What'd I say?
Sandman.
Oh, derp. Starman. Sorry, bud. All right.
Oh, I'd buy Sandman too. That'll probably eventually be talked about one.
All right, so real quick before we go, we went to the Columbus Toy Show this past weekend.
Yeah,
it was a ton of fun. What did you pick up at the show? You got a bunch of Star Wars stuff, right?
No, I got a bunch of oddball stuff.
Okay.
There was a guy who had a like table that had a lot of very low-priced gaming characters.
Cool.
So like I got another Destiny character.
Oh, nice.
And that... the Assassin's Creed figure that was based off of what you call it, Fassbender.
Oh, okay.
I mean the face looks like Fassbender. So
from the movie.
Yeah. But I think that was a character that actually was in the game. So.
Yeah, I mean that character is in the game.
Yeah.
But like you
but
know,
he
you
had
the
that guy
Fassbender
had the
version.
Super 7 Skeletor.
Yeah.
Which was the only other Super 7 character that I bought Hordak, so I was looking to see what Skeletor looked like before I bought him.
Yeah.
So I got that and a few other oddball things and picked up my Mezco Space Ghost from Aaron.
Now, is that your first Mezco?
No, that's my third or fourth.
So
I have the Mirror Universe Spock and
that's right.
Sulu for sure. And I think I have somebody else.
Cool.
And that, so it's a fun show to walk around.
That's the first time I've been up to that one,
yeah.
And I had a blast.
Yeah. I mean, they expand it, too. This year was the first time they've used the entire building.
Oh, okay.
So it used to be split and had used a portion of the building.
I'm
so where Aaron was,
yeah.
Where his booth was, used to be the split.
Okay.
And you would literally, that would be it, and there would be a solid wall there, and they took the wall out this year.
I'm kind of bummed we didn't go over to the beef auction, though.
It was like a beef show.
There was
an archery show.
And
that's
the archery people were
ever
shooting
been that
the beef
much
and yeah.
Going on there because like the roads were closed that usually are open.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was the first time that all that had happened and it snowed.
Yeah.
So
on the way out.
Yeah.
So I got that Scrooge McDuck New York Comic Con pop with him and the money. I've been looking for that one for, what, 2 years now?
I think so, yeah.
And then I found the Aang Chase Hot Topic exclusive. So now I have the entire, like, I have all the released Avatar pops, which...
And you're keeping that one sealed and...
The two chases are still sealed. I may open them. I don't know.
I wouldn't open them.
And then I grabbed two more Vitruvian hacks, and I found a Nightwing in a color scheme that I didn't have. So,
Know. Here's my picture.
And then I
Valerian. I got a Valerian figure. Nice. That guy had... He had the Assassin's Creed figure, the Destiny figure, Valerian, one of the metal Star Wars figures from the Disney store, Call of Duty figure I had seen that, you know, was the right price.
Cool.
And then the Skeletor, all for $60.
Nice.
And then I bought the Weyland Yutani Commando and a Captain Power figure from Aaron, and I found the RoboCop versus Terminator figure I had been looking for.
Nice. Very cool. And then you grab some Legends on the way home, right?
Yeah, not at Walmart.
Cool. So, and then I also kind of mini brokered a deal for my first Mezco that I went to the toy department the day after and got the Batman Beyond.
Oh, okay.
So,
mini brokered a deal.
He's pretty cool. Well, Kenny helped me out. He
cool.
He took care of it and got it on hold so I could go get it the next day. Cool. So, which I love him. I think he's really cool. I agree with you about the bat symbol being a little too tall off the chest.
Too shiny.
It's a little, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, no.
I can always just scuff that up a little bit with some sandpaper.
You don't do that to a Mezco figure. The hell are you
Wait, you don't about? You don't mod Mezcos?
I wouldn't mod
I'm kidding. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I'd never do that.
I mean, I've not spent over $100 on a Mezco figure. But yeah, I wouldn't disrupt them in any way.
So I got him for just like $105.
Yeah.
You know, which again, like on eBay, there was one at the time that was going for like $98, but like I couldn't go look at it.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, I went and Kenny let me look at it and
sure.
and everything. And then most of them are between $120 and $180. So
yeah, this mirror box I got on one of those sales, like Black Friday sales through ThinkGeek,
because
that was a ThinkGeek exclusive.
Okay.
And then...
And that didn't, like, sell out right away? That made it to Black Friday?
I forget what the deal was, but I think it was, like... I think that's how I got it. Yeah, I don't remember at this point. All I've had that one for a couple years. Yeah.
Well, I have my Cyclops on pre-order.
I wish that they would do more Star Trek characters.
Yeah.
They've only done Kirk, Spock... Mirror Universe Spock and Sulu.
I want that Klingon.
And I think they maybe did Spock from Where No Man Has Gone Before.
Okay.
Or The Cage. One of those. The early yeah. Spock.
I want that Klingon that Christopher Lloyd played.
Krug? the arrogant Klingon?
The arrogant Klingon. So,
I would like them to, you know, do the rest of the original characters and maybe expand in the next generation. I would like a Worf.
Yeah.
If they did a Worf, yeah, would be really cool.
A Wesley Crusher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. That'd be a top seller right there.
Yeah, I read somewhere the other day that Will Wheaton is the age that Patrick Stewart was when the Next Generation started.
Wow.
Now.
Wow.
I'm like, man, did we all get old?
Yeah, we So I've been telling you this for weeks. We're old. We're old men now.
I'm not old.
So.
I'm not old.
Maybe age, number wise.
Well,
see,
you had a kid. So a kid makes you feel old.
Yeah.
I don't have any kids.
That and I don't have like cartilage anywhere on my lower body. So
that just means my body's old.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm old.
No. No, we stay young with the toys and the comics and the movies.
Re-energize the body.
Are you going to see Us this weekend?
I don't know. No, because I got to work all weekend.
Oh, okay. No.
I work all weekend.
We all know how I feel about like horror. So it's like, I don't know if I'm going to see it. I might just wait till it hits HBO.
Did you go see Get Out or did you wait until it?
Well, no, you gave me the DVD for Get Out, remember?
No.
Yeah, like I borrowed Get Out.
I didn't buy Get Out until.
What did I borrow? Oh, Split.
No.
And
you never watched it and then.
No, so I tried.
So Get Out, I bought on a Black Friday, loaded it on digital, and it sat there for a year and a half. And I finally watched it. And I'm like, us, I'd be curious to see what he does with this story, because obviously Get Out was an interesting idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, I definitely would be curious to see what Us is.
Yeah. So I tried to watch Get Out. I fell asleep watching Get Out like the first three times I tried to watch it. And it was like, I was watching at like 8 o'clock at night. Like I wasn't, it wasn't like a normal, like, oh, hey, I'm going to throw on this movie I've never seen at 3 a.m. So yeah, that's why it didn't make my best of that year.
Right.
Even though like, I thought it was good. It's a nice little riff on the Stepford Wives.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what Us does. I really like Lupita.
Yeah.
So she's I think she's an awesome actress and she's super hot. So I'm always down to support a movie she's in.
And it's what's his name? Winston Duke?
Yeah.
M'Baku?
Yep. And then, you know, Jordan Peele. Jordan Peele's like, I'm excited to see what he does with The Twilight Zone. I'm excited to see what he does with
Is that when you're gonna finally subscribe to CBS?
No.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what,
you still haven't used that?
At $25.
You still haven't used that yet?
No.
So did you catch when they started Star Trek Discovery season 2 that they ran the first episode for free on YouTube for a week?
Oh, no.
I watched it.
Yeah.
It was actually good.
So.
But I'm like hesitant still.
yeah. We'll talk about how to watch these.
Well, and
well, you bought the DVDs.
They said I didn't buy them. No.
No?
I didn't. They're too pricey.
Yeah.
And that, but they said Anson Mount's leaving.
So I read about that, and apparently he had an altercation with someone, one of the directors or production people or something. So,
he was already planning to leave.
But like, yeah, I don't know. But
he'll be back.
From what, and Rebecca Romijn is leaving as well.
Well, number one,
right?
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, because their story goes on the Enterprise.
So I wonder if they'll do a what like fifth Star Wars series now on CBS All Access, Star Trek series on All Access. With them, like, well, the time with them on Enterprise,
so
before
the timeline, the way the timeline works with Discovery is it's 15 years before Kirk takes over,
right,
on the Enterprise,
right? So Pike's got a solid 10
Cage
years.
Cage already had happened,
yeah. Oh,
like, there's literally an episode in this season where the Talosians show up,
okay,
and that, so the Cage episode has happened already, Spock and him and number one have all dealt with Talos.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where it's an open book. Like, they could do whatever they want. And I mean, I like Rebecca Romijn. Yeah. And everybody says that this, what's his name? Ethan Peck, that's playing Spock, is really good.
Cool.
So, I mean, if they wanted to do, you know, Enterprise before Kirk, that would be kind of a cool show to
do. It'd be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Call,
I mean,
it,
they've done enough Enterprise shows.
I mean, there was a show called Enterprise.
And then called Star Trek Enterprise because they went, whoops, we should have called that Star Trek in the first place.
Don't.
Yeah.
I still think that for me, like, in you know, keeping in mind I haven't watched Discovery yet, like, that's my most rewatchable Star Trek series.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite necessarily, but it's the one that I can just like kind of turn on and zone out.
Next Gen is the one where I can turn on just episodes.
Yeah.
And that Enterprise had an ongoing
story.
Yeah,
I like to watch. I'll like watch a couple arcs.
Deep Space Nine, you're invested.
Oh,
investing, you know, time in that. And Voyager's another one where it's like Next Gen, where it's like there's episode arcs that are good, but.
Speaking of investing time into science fiction shows,
yeah,
can I take a moment to talk to you about my Lord and Savior, John Crichton?
Oh, geez.
Your response, your response to my post on Facebook made me laugh,
you know,
so hard.
You know why? Because I couldn't find any GIFs that were Babylon 5, because I've told you to watch Babylon 5, and I'm like, go watch Babylon 5 first and then go back and watch Farscape.
Because I posted, I'll see y'all in a
week. Can I tell you about my Lord and Savior, John Sheridan?
I will watch Babylon 5. I
need
will.
To go,
I've,
I need
I've
to
committed
go back
to
watch
watching
it.
So maybe what you need to do is come over and like we'll watch an episode like a week together.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's 5 years.
As I start to fall asleep, you just wake me
That's
up.
That's 5 years.
Maybe we'll watch two episodes then. All right.
Maybe you should just stay awake and watch it.
That's true, too. Yeah. So, all right. Well, on that note, anything else to add?
No.
Cool.
So go on Comixology and use our link and go get this stuff.
Read this stuff. So
let me know what you think.
Star Wars Celebration is coming up. We'll have some more stuff about that probably in the next couple weeks.
What are we gonna have? They haven't put enough up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Probably, hopefully, I don't know. They put something up about the Mandalorian on the Star Wars show today. I didn't watch it yet on YouTube, but we'll see.
They did post, like, I guess it's coming with the badges and that they're doing virtual queue lines and that type of stuff. So thank you, Disney, for influencing the Star Wars Celebration.
Fast Pass.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Yep. Which is great. That means we don't have to camp out and, you know.
I was not going to be camping out.
Oh, no. Neither was I.
At Star Wars Celebration 3, I maybe went to one panel.
Yeah.
Because most of the panels you had to camp out. Like, I can remember getting up one morning and George Lucas had been there and literally walking from the hotel to the convention center, and you could tell where people had camped out because they had left their mess of just garbage and junk.
Right.
And that, and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to ever do that.
No.
The longest I've ever stood in a line for a panel was like maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Yeah.
In Dragon Con.
Okay.
For Battlestar Galactica.
Something, yeah.
And that was just experience the So Say We All at the end.
Very cool. Well, Katie Sackhoff is
almost
here, so.
at a Battlestar Galactica panel. You are going to experience So Say We All.
Fair enough.
And literally he makes everybody stand up and
say So Say We All.
So Say We All.
That's cool though.
Yep.
All right. Well, on that note, we'll see you guys next week. Any parting words?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right. Go read some comics later.
Watch Babylon 5.
The FS Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.